Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
My administration is putting an end to the war on coal.
President Trump taking major steps to strip down Obama-era regulations to combat climate change.
That's how CNN describes the executive order signed by President Trump this week that attempts to gut Obama-era climate policy. But can the stroke of a pen slow the momentum of market forces toward renewable energy? Next, the U.S. House of Representatives holds hearings in what some are calling a war on climate science. All of this as updated climate opinion maps show a growing majority of Americans accept climate science and support policies regulating emissions. How do Minnesotans measure up? I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. Let's crank up the climate cast.
We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
In Kansas, it was 118 degrees. Now, you leave a candle on your porch in that kind of temperature and it melts like a stick of butter.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a crazy busy week for climate news this week. We're going to cover a lot of ground in the next hour, and I want to hear your opinion today. Do you accept climate science as fact? Do you trust climate scientists? And do you support renewable energy technology? So give me a call today if you can. I want you to jump in today. 651-227-6000 is the number to call. 800-242-2828. Jump in and let me know what you think about climate change opinion. We've got one of the leading climate researchers today on climate science opinion here on ClimateCast. It's Tony Lazarowicz. He's the director for the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Paul. Great to be with you.
Hey, good to talk to you, too. Listen, those Yale climate opinion maps that you put together are really cool. Folks should look at those. You break down climate opinion by state, by county. Let's start with the big picture. We know what the science says, but what are the overall trends in climate change opinion over the past 10 to 15 years or so?
Yeah. Well, and thank you for calling the maps cool, because that's not often something gets said about.
Well, I'm kind of a map geek, so, yeah. You know, it's
well,
a low bar.
Well, you're right. They're very interactive and they're very fun, so I'd encourage people to come visit. Big picture. So what we've seen, first of all, we do large-scale national surveys, two a year, one in the spring, one in the fall, and we've been doing that for over a decade. So when we look at the long-term patterns, we can see that as of last November, so we did a survey just after the election, and saw that that American belief that climate change is happening is now at 70% of all Americans, and that is pretty much an all-time record high. We haven't seen that level since about 2008. And by contrast, only about 13% of Americans say that flatly it's just not happening. So that's been encouraging. And I'll just say quickly that one of the things that's been really interesting about that is mm-hmm. that number of belief that this problem is real has increased pretty significantly by about 7 percentage points in the past couple of years. And so we wanted to look at, well, who is changing their opinion?
Well, first of all, do we know why that's happening?
Well, they're related. So first of all, who's changing their opinion? And so we broke it down by political party. And what's fascinating is that it's not Democrats. It's not liberal Democrats. It's not moderate or conservative Democrats. Their views really haven't changed much. And it's not really independents. It's happening somewhat among liberal moderate Republicans, but the real shift has been among conservative Republicans. They've been about a 18 percentage point increase in the number of conservative Republicans who say that global warming is real.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And do we know why they're changing their mind?
Well, I mean, this is the great question, and there's a lot of things, so we don't have a full answer. It's one of the things we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, you know, clearly there is a lot going on climate change. We've seen now 3 consecutive years with global record temperatures, all-time levels of greenhouse gases, concentrations in the atmosphere. We've seen record-setting extreme weather events, including record temperatures here in the lower 48 and in Alaska. So, I mean, there's certainly been a lot of direct evidence around us, but
sure.
We also know that this is an issue that is hugely inflected by politics. And so I think one of the possible things that's going on is that there's actually been very little discussion about climate change among conservative political leaders. So for the past number of years, basically from about 2009 on, it was a standard talking point among certainly Tea Party members of Congress that climate change is a hoax. It was scientists making up data, it's a UN plot to take away our sovereignty, and so on. And so that kind of became the standard talking point up until about 2014, when suddenly you heard members of Congress shift their discourse and suddenly start saying, well, I'm not an expert. That became the
right.
talking point.
We've all heard that. I'm not a scientist.
And so, you know, on one level, that's kind of laughable because, you know, they're not economists, but they make economic policy, and they're not doctors, but they make healthcare policy. And there are thousands of climate scientists across the country who'd be more than happy to sit down and talk to them about the science. But nonetheless, from a rhetorical standpoint, that was a shift off the twig on the end of the branch of saying climate change just simply isn't even real, to beginning to say, well, I don't know. Maybe it could be.
Yeah, and my analysis of that, too, as you touched on it earlier, I think that the extreme sort of out-of-season weather events that we've been seeing, the increase in that has changed opinion, too, because people are seeing this in their daily lives, and they're saying, you know what? This did not happen when I was 10 years old or 15 years old. So I think that goes to it, too. You know, one thing that jumps out in your maps here, climate change opinion is not geographically uniform on the maps. So where are the sort of hot spots and dead zones on climate change acceptance?
Yeah, so, and I'll talk about this, but I would encourage people to come to the Yale Climate Opinion Maps to just see it for yourself, because it's far better to see it than me talking about it. But I'm just going to take one particular question that we ask, is how worried are you about global warming? So we ask that question, and if you look at it at the county level, so you can develop estimates for every county in America in terms of how worried they are, and you see that there's this great diversity across the country. There is, you know, there are places like, you know, out in California where, say, over 70% of people say that they're worried about global warming, to places in, say, Oklahoma where only 44% are worried about global warming. So it could be almost a, you know, 30-point difference. However, that's really where the interesting stuff begins to emerge. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it's like, as a biologist, being given, you know, a microscope for the first time. We always knew there were things swimming around in that drop of water, but we just couldn't see it. Now we can begin to see these patterns even within states. So let me just take Texas as an example. You know, Texas, kind of stereotypically, people think of it as, you know, in the South, it's deeply conservative, it's a red state politically, it was long led by, you know, climate doubting or even dismissive governors like Rick Perry. It would seem like the last place you'd want to have a constructive conversation about climate change. But when you look within the state, you see actually it's tremendously diverse. There are counties along the U.S.-Mexico border that are as worried about climate change as San Francisco. Okay? And so what you see is that there's a lot more going on below the surface of these overall national numbers that we all hear from Gallup and Pew, and we release them ourselves, that when you begin to dive down into the state, congressional district, and county levels, you begin to see much more of the nuance of how Americans are thinking and responding.
Yeah, and I noticed we're seeing that right here in Minnesota. 69% believe global warming is happening, 84% renewable energy. But our highest acceptance rate, 77%, comes from our biggest urban county. That's Hennepin County here. And our lowest rate of 61% comes from a more rural county that's right next door, Sherburne County. So they're right next to each other, and they're the highest and lowest. So you're saying that's not that unusual. You're seeing that in the data.
That's right. And so there are a lot of patterns here. So that's an important one, that we do see difference between urban and rural areas. But even that, I mean, while that's true, and there are also differences, obviously, between more Democratic and Republican areas. But like I just explained with Texas, there are great diversity in some cases within those states. But there are other really important factors. So let me go back to the Texas example. Why are all these counties along the U.S.-Mexico border so much more worried about it? Well, that ties to other research findings that we've found, which is that it's contrary to common wisdom, which many people think, oh, climate change is an issue that only, you know, well-educated, liberal, democratic, you know, latte-drinking liberals care about.
Volvo-driving.
Yeah, Volvo-driving, latte-drinking, limousine liberals. It turns out that's just not true. actually the racial and ethnic group in America that cares the most about climate change are Latinos.
Hmm.
They're more convinced it's real, that it's human caused. They're more worried about it. They're stronger supportive of action. Okay, and so what you're seeing there is this Latino effect that actually isn't just in Texas. It's across Arizona, New Mexico, California, Colorado, et cetera. And there are other such demographics that come into play as well.
Sure. Tony, you're lighting up the phones here. Do you mind if we jump in with a couple of callers that have questions?
Sure.
Andy in Edina, you've got a question this morning. Hey, thanks for jumping in. What do you got this morning?
So I'm 54 years old, and I drive for Metro Transit. And one of the reasons I love doing it is because I know that gets another couple of cars off the road to help get the greenhouse gases down. But in my profession, even amongst the drivers that I work with, none of us even question the fact that climate science is real. And maybe in the past few years, people that have, we've kind of like, really, you want some more aluminum for your tinfoil hat? But does it correspond at all to maybe a couple of months ago, I saw a map of Duck Dynasty watchers from the New York Times, and that corresponded, is it that kind of a correlation?
Anthony, what do you think?
That's a great question, and I love that analysis. We have not done an analysis comparing our maps to Duck Dynasty watchers. however, I think you are tapping into something that's going on out there, and that is that there are these cultures, that we have different cultures in this society, right? And that those cultures come with a whole host of differences, some of them political, but some of them, more about differences in how you think about the environment. Is the environment a place, to be protected, like in, say, wilderness-type terms? Or is it an environment to be used for, hunting, fishing, ranching, mining, et cetera, et cetera? Those are long-standing differences about environmental values that also come into play. And, of course, North versus South, Southern Louisiana culture versus Minnesota culture. I mean, clearly there are big differences.
And peer group matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Let's grab another call. Kiva in Stillwater, good morning. How are you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I 100% believe in climate change. I was raised by tree huggers, hippies that were kind of ringing the bell in the 70s about having to be more environmentally aware. But I feel like now it's a matter of being willing to look at things that are really uncomfortable and honestly inconvenient. We want really cheap gas and we want really cheap electronics and we don't really want to think about how that impacts the environment. We want coal to come back, but we don't really think about how that affects the environment around it. So I just think people really don't want to look at the impact of their consumption. I think this is kind of why it's such a political issue, because there's a lot of people that stand to make a lot of money.
Sure.
From ignoring it.
All right. Kiva, thank you. Tony, what are you hearing there in her comments that you've looked at?
Well, there's a lot going on in there. So one, I think, really important point that actually goes back to Andy's prior point as well, and that is how often do we even talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the, as long been said, one of the first steps to accepting that you have a problem is acknowledging you have a problem.
Right.
So unfortunately, Americans really don't talk about this issue very much. I mean, at the national level, it's only about 33% of Americans say that they discuss it even occasionally. Unrelated, they rarely hear about it in the media. And so this is still one of the fundamental things that's really holding us back from having a constructive conversation about this. I mean, we can leave aside the political extremes, because there are those that just, they'll flat out say it's a hoax and blah, blah, blah. And that they're going to be very difficult to engage in a constructive conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But in our research, we actually find that's actually a very small proportion of people.
It's like less than 20%, right?
9%.
9%.
9% of the country are what we call dismissives. They're
mm-hmm.
firmly convinced it's not real, it's not human caused. It's not a serious problem. And in fact, many of them are conspiracy theorists. They literally tell us it's a hoax. It's scientists making up data. It's a get-rich scheme by Al Gore and his friends and many, many other such narratives. But they're only 9%. They're just loud. They're really vocal.
Sure.
And so they have tended to intimidate much of the rest of the country into saying, I mean, this has become like a topic at Thanksgiving that you don't talk about, right? It's like sex, religion, politics,
and climate change. Yeah.
Right? I mean, seriously, because we're afraid of pissing off Uncle Bob. So, you know, really this basic thing, we have to break the spiral of silence. To begin to have real conversations and help all of us come to grips with what this means, how it connects to our lives, how it connects to our values, and what are our preferred ways of actually addressing the problem.
Let me tell you how this presents itself to me as a meteorologist, and I assume this happens to you too. The word belief, I sort of see that as a very unfortunate term with climate change. People ask me all the time, do you believe in climate change? And I try to tell them it's not a religion. It's not an act of faith. The science is clear and robust. The numbers, the metrics, the data, and the effects that we're increasingly seeing around us are very real. I looked at your numbers. I see that 70% of Americans believe global warming is happening, but just 53% believe humans are the cause. So that's a disconnect from what the science says. What are you finding about the way people process climate science?
Yeah, well, so one of the big ones is that is around people's misunderstanding. There's a huge misunderstanding of the scientific consensus on climate change. Now, we can get into word games here because those who like to criticize the quote-unquote scientific consensus use a definition of the word consensus that means 100% agreement. But there's actually a different definition of consensus that most in the field are actually using, and that is that there's overwhelming preponderance of agreement. Okay, it doesn't have to be 100%. And in fact, there have been multiple studies that have all converged on about 97% of climate scientists, the people who study this for a living day in, day out, are convinced of two key things. Global warming is real, and it is predominantly human-caused. Okay? This is not about, you know, what are the impacts going to be in the year 2075 in Hennepin County? That's a tough, complicated question.
Right.
And there's plenty of uncertainties around that. But about the reality of the problem and what the primary cause is, there is literally no legitimate scientific debate about that anymore. And yet, only 15% of Americans understand that.
Evan and let's grab another phone call, Tony. Evan and Walker, good morning. What's your question this morning?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was kind of curious if the research has shown much of a generational gap in this belief that climate change is real or not. Now, I'm a fairly conservative Republican, but I'm also 26 years old, which is kind of you don't see that often. But my parents, who are also very conservative evangelicals, kind of refuse to believe this. And I don't know if it's, you know, just this distrust of the government or what it might be generationally that's different. So just kind of curious if that's something that's been shown.
Okay, great question, Evan. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, Evan, thank you so much for that question. That is really a great question. So I'll come at it at a couple levels. So first of all, nationally, we actually see very little generational difference. I mean, a lot of people, again, kind of common wisdom is that young people really get it, they really care. Actually, we see that they're not really that different than their parents or their grandparents on the issue. So we don't see huge generational divides. But when you look within the numbers, you do begin to see some differences on exactly the group that you just talked about as you're being part of your own group, and that is among Republicans. Younger Republicans tend to look at their older contemporaries, their parents or grandparents, and really, I mean, I've got some colleagues within the Republican pollsters who've done this analysis and found that increasingly they have these images of, you know, they're cranky, they're out of touch, that they don't understand where they are trying to take the Republican Party in basically ignoring or denying the reality of this fundamental problem that's going to affect their lives. So you do see some of that generational divide within Republicans. And the last thing I wanted to say is because you brought up your parents' generation and you mentioned they might be that they're evangelical. We actually did a whole study on that too, looking at how do evangelicals think about climate change? Because again, the common stereotype is that evangelicals are just anti-climate. Some people even see them as anti-science. And that too is not accurate. About half of evangelicals, half, think that climate change is real. Support action on climate change. So even within the evangelical community, you'll find differences.
Interesting. And we know the stewardship sort of argument seems to be one that people of faith tend to recognize. You're listening to the Climate Cast this morning. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. Tony Lazarowicz is the Director for the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. We're talking about climate change opinion in the United States and here in Minnesota as well. Tony, I want to shift gears just a little bit. As meteorologists, we talk about optimism bias in severe weather, the notion that people tend to think bad things will happen to somebody else, right? We saw that in the Joplin, Missouri tornado. It killed 158 people, but the study after the event showed many ignored warnings when the tornado was coming right at them because they didn't think it would happen to them. So here's my question. If people don't believe that a tornado that's heading straight for them will harm them, how do people accept climate change as a harmful event? Is there an optimism bias in climate change opinion?
Yeah, well, what a great question. So yes, unfortunately, we see that very clearly, and this has been one of the things we learned from the very beginning of these studies, is this: for many people, they have this sense of climate change is distant in time, that the impacts are a generation or more away, so they're not hitting me and not hitting us, and in space. That this is about polar bears or maybe some developing countries, but not the United States, not Minnesota, not my city, not my community, not my friends and family or any of the people and places I care about. And so even if for those people who do accept that it's real, they don't see it as urgent, as a priority compared to all the other issues that we obviously have to deal with. And so what we see, and I'll just draw from our Minnesota data, that basically, you know, only 41% of Minnesotans say that global warming will harm them personally, but 79% say that it'll harm future generations. So that's a, what is that, 38% point difference.
Right.
So that's exactly right. And I think the only way we really come to deal with that is to start connecting the dots, helping us understand that climate change is not far away in time and space. It's here and now. Yes, it's going to get much worse if we continue on the current path, but you can already see the impacts all over the country. And in fact, on the flip side, there are also incredible stories of people taking action, rolling up their sleeves and saying, I want to get involved and actually do what I can to help address this problem.
Tony, we've got about a minute left here. I noticed a story that came out this week about media coverage of climate change. Media Matters came out with this. The numbers that the major news networks devoted a total of, wait for it, 50 minutes to climate change coverage on the network news all of last year. By the way, we're doing an hour here on ClimateCast today alone. But what do your numbers say about climate change coverage in the news media and how people are hearing about climate change?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're very, very low because you got to remember climate change is just one story of all the stories, right? And so a few years ago, we found that it was basically getting only about 0.1% of total news coverage on cable, newspapers, television, and so on. And that's crucial because this is not an issue that most people engage with in their own lives, right? They don't know climate scientists. They're not reading the articles. They don't read the IPCC reports and so on. Most of us learn about this issue through the media. And when the media doesn't report it, it's literally out of sight and out of mind. How could this be important if nobody in the media is talking about it? So that's the kind of part of the spiral of silence, catch-22, that we're stuck in.
Okay, last question. What are the big takeaways here as you look at this data and project forward how climate opinion may shift in the next 10 years or so?
Well, I think that's a great question. My crystal ball is kind of cloudy. So,
mine is too at times.
Yeah, I wish I had an easy job like predicting the weather.
Yeah, predicting the future is hard, it turns out.
I mean, look, we've seen some very positive action among Republicans and particularly among conservative Republicans in the past couple of years. If that continues, that's an incredibly important sign because this is not an issue that we can solve with just one party. And moreover, the climate system just doesn't care, right? It doesn't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a liberal or conservative. It's not like Superstorm Sandy only destroyed the homes of Democrats and not Republicans, or that the terrible drought that hit the Great Plains a few years ago only destroyed the livelihoods of liberal ranchers and not conservative ranchers. But we, in our response, have to come together and let's get the best ideas on the table from liberals and conservatives of how to address this. That's a really great conversation to have. But instead, for too many of us, we're still stuck in this question of, well, is the problem even real?
Well, Tony, the work you do, I think, is interesting and important, certainly from a scientific standpoint, and great of you to join us and talk with us about it today. And say hello to Bud Ward for me, will you?
I will. Thank you.
That's Tony Lazarowicz. He's the director of the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. You're listening to the ClimateCast on NPR News.